guys, and welcome back to the Mystic Podcast. So today we'll be doing yet another bonus episode. So we are covering two movies. We will be covering the Swedish hit vampire movie, Let the Right One In, which was released in 2008. And we will also be comparing it to its American remake, Let Me In, which was released in 2010. So we're taking a break from Vampire Diaries content yet again. Last week we covered season 1, episode 17. And after today's bonus episode, we will be going back to Vampire Diaries content and we will be finishing off season 1. Really, really looking forward to finishing off season 1. And it's really, really getting good. So if you're a first-time watcher, we mainly cover Vampire Diaries over here, but I do throw in some bonus other vampire content here and there. So recently, I have to admit, I've kind of been in a rut when it comes to this podcast. The podcast growth has been very slow. We did have this really sudden growth like 1 month ago, but things have just been kind of slowing down, so I've been less motivated. But I'm still going to continue to go on. You know, I've been very busy with other projects and work recently, but you know, I've been doing this podcast for, I'd say, half a year now, and Vampire Diaries is a show that I'm very passionate about, so I'm going to try and continue on here for my very few small listeners, or even just as a hobby. As I said, we'll be covering two movies today. You know, some remakes, they tend to be very different to their original movies, but I'd say for this movie, Let the Right One In, Let Me In, for these movies, the plot is very similar. It's literally just an English version, I would say. Just some minor parts are different, but it's very much the same movie. So for the Swedish movie, well, originally, before these movies were even made, this was based on a book. And basically, the author of the book, Let the Right One In, wrote the screenplay for the Swedish movie. And it's set in 1980s Stockholm, Sweden. And one thing they changed for the movie is Håkan, if that's how you pronounce it. So the kind of caretaker slash father slash guardian slash food provider for Ellie. In the book, he's more of a pedophile. He's written as a pedophile. So it's as if he's also taking advantage of Ellie, the young vampire, as well. But for the movie, this was toned down, so they didn't really want to make it too controversial, I would say. And so, yeah, the main two characters, the young lovers, are Oscar is the human boy, and then the 12-year-old female vampire is Ellie. And both of these actors, actresses, they're not currently acting right now, I'd say. Whereas for the American version, it's set in, well, this one is also set in 1980s, but the setting is Los Alamos, if that's how you pronounce it, in the state of New Mexico. And they change up the character names. So the human boy is called Owen, played by Cody Smith McPhee. And Abby is the 12-year-old vampire. She is played by Chloe Moretz, obviously a very famous actress. Since she's been a child actress, she's still very successful now. I'd say my image when I'd hear Chloe Moretz would be Carrie, I think, the movie Carrie. And also the bully. So obviously the human boy gets bullied in school. The bully, interestingly enough, was played by Dylan Minnette in the American remake. And I may or may not have mentioned it way back in his podcast, but I watched 13 Reasons Why in early January or February, I'd say. And of course, Clay Jensen, is the main character, is played by Dylan Minnette. So I just thought it was very interesting to see him. I didn't know that he was a child actor. I didn't know he was famous since he was a child. But I just thought it interesting because in 13 Reasons Why, he's more of the one being bullied, whereas in this one, he was the main bully. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the plot, but we're going to split it into three parts. So first, I'm going to talk about the first 30 minutes of the movie for Swedish and then American. Then talk from 30 minutes to the 1 hour point for Swedish and American movies. And then finally talk about the climax, the last part of the movie. So yeah, splitting it up into three sections for you guys, and we will compare as we go along. So the very beginning of the movie for the Swedish one is the first scene is Håkan and Ellie arriving at Oscar's apartment complex. So yeah, they're in the car and then they arrive. Then it's the next day and we see Oscar at school getting bullied. So it's really just building up the plot of how he's bullied in school. He's lonely. He doesn't have any friends. And we also see Håkan preparing to hunt and to go and kill. So he has all of his equipment. He packs it up, heads out. And we see him make his first kill. He kills a guy in the woods. And basically, he hangs the guy on a tree and starts to drain the blood off of him. And it was very sudden, this kill. And I also thought that the way he did it was very sloppy. It wasn't really in private. Like, anyone could go into those woods to witness the murder. So I'd feel like he could have done it deeper in the forest or something. And this very much happens. We see a poodle approaching and the poodle just sits there and stares. And this very much reminded me of Lost Boys. So I covered Lost Boys end of May / early June. I covered all three of the movies and it reminded me of Nanook, the dog in the original movie. So because the poodle is barking, the owners start to approach and basically Håkan panics and he runs off. And okay, I mean, I understand that he would panic and run off, but he forgets to get the blood. He literally forgets to take the blood, which of course ends up as a disaster later on because Ellie is mad. Back to the apartment complex. It's nighttime, obviously. We see Oscar out in the grounds, like the outside area of the complex. He's stabbing the tree constantly with a knife, and he's repeatedly saying the words that the bullies tell him. And it does seem very sinister, I would say, compared to the English version. It did feel more sinister, and this is where Oscar and Ellie meet for the first time. And one of the first lines that Ellie says is that we can't be friends. And I feel that by her saying it, it makes him more curious. Like, if she wouldn't have said that, he might not have wanted to get to know her more, if you understand me. Like, you saying that to someone only makes them more curious as to, like, what kind of person they are. So, yeah, she says we can't be friends. She goes off and she heads home. And this is where she gets mad at Håkan for not bringing her any food. And she says something on the lines of, do I have to do it myself? So I feel that this kind of implies that she doesn't want to kill people. She doesn't want to become this, you know, sinister vampiric form that she does become when she has to feed. And Oscar, back at home, he has this scrapbook. And in this scrapbook, he has all these articles cut out of killings. And it's in this scrapbook. The story is very much the same for the American version and the Swedish version. But I do feel that in this version, Oscar seems to be more into killings. And it just feels like he's the type to become a future serial killer. So it's the next day and we see Håkan drinking milk alone at the pub, and we see this group of friends, and at that point, the group of friends aren't really a major character, but they do become part of the storyline later on, of course, because the female is turned by Ellie. Yeah, I'm not sure whether to call her Eli or Ellie. I mean, in English, we would call her Ellie, but I think Eli is supposed to be like a unisex name, and that's why she was named that in the Swedish version, because we find out later on that she originally isn't a female. Back in the grounds again, Oscar and Ellie yet again meet at the jungle gym, and Oscar decides to lend Ellie his Rubik's Cube. And here he notices that Ellie smells, like she has this funny smell to her. And I'm figuring out that this is probably because she hasn't fed. So if she doesn't feed, like some kind of odor comes out of her body. After that, we see Ellie attack a neighbor and feed. And the next day, she says something on the lines of, do I smell better? When Ellie is attacking this neighbor and feeding, one friend witnesses this, but they think it's just a wild animal, and they go back to the pub and say like an animal attacks their friend. And this very much reminded me of the Vampire Diaries, because they usually hide up bodies being drained of blood by animal attacks, but they never say what the animal is. So yeah, when Ellie meets Oscar the next day, she hands back the Rubik's Cube and it's complete. So for the American version, it's a very different beginning. We actually start off with the caretaker, Haken. I don't think he has a name for the American version, so I'll just call him American Haken. So we start off with American Haken in the hospital, and we have a detective. So in this story, they decide to add a detective who's kind of like going after Abby and American Haken, trying to find out clues of the murders. So I do feel that that was a very Americanized way to do it, like solving a crime kind of. And he goes to the hospital bed. He wants to talk to American Haken, but he receives an important phone call. So he leaves the hospital room. And by the time he's come back, American Haken is gone. He's dead. He's on the ground. And we see a close-up of this note saying, "I'm sorry, Abby." Then we rewind it to 2 weeks earlier, and then this is where the whole plot of the movie begins. So I do feel that that was a very Americanized way of doing it. We do see this kind of situation happening a lot. Owen, he does have a knife as well, and he has this mask on, and he points to the mirror and he's saying, "Are you a little girl?" So the scene is similar to Oscar, but I just feel that the way Oscar did it was way more sinister, because he was actually stabbing the tree again and again. But this Owen / Oscar does have a little bit of a strange personality to him, where he spies on the neighbors through a telescope. And here we see Abby and American Haken moving in to the complex. And again, the next day we are taken to the school. We are shown that Owen gets bullied, but I would say that the American version, the bullies are more extreme. And as I said earlier, it's really weird to see Clay Jensen / Dylan Minnette as a bully, because my image is him as Clay in 13 Reasons Why. But yeah, I would say that the bullying is way more extreme for the American one. I think it's because we're used to seeing this sort of setup. So if it wasn't violent or extreme enough, we wouldn't feel it to be bullying. We would feel it was teasing. Like the Swedish one very much felt like it was just teasing in the beginning, whereas the American one, it's full-on violence. And we have the same scene of American Haken draining the body of blood in the forest. This time, he actually takes the blood with him, but he ends up dropping the blood because he slips, and then he runs off. And the setup is very different, because when he goes back to see Abby, he literally says, "You know, maybe I'm getting sloppy, I'm getting tired of this." So it's like he doesn't want to do this. I mean, I will talk about this later on, but the Swedish one, because the whole plot was Haken was a pedophile in the book, it does feel that, you know, Haken is getting, I don't know, like I'd say getting his worth out of this, or it's more like he's being hired. Whereas for the American one, I feel like it's because he knew Abby when he was a child. It's more that he has this love for Abby, so he feels that he has to do this, but at the same time, he doesn't want to be killing people. And then we also have the same, you know, Rubik's Cube and smell, like Owen saying that she smells. It's the exact same scene. Then she asks the next day if she smells better, and of course it's because she fed. Owen asks Abby how old she is, and she says that she is about 12. We're up to the 30-minute mark for the movie, and so starting with the Swedish one, again, we have the bullies bullying Oscar, and this time they're beating Oscar up. And compared to the American version one, all of the other kids are involved in the bullying too, and it's almost as if the main bully is forcing them to. It's like they're scared to go against the main bully, and it's like if they don't, then it's going to be them next. Whereas in the American remake, it's just the main bully, it's Clay Jensen / Dylan Minnette, who is bullying Owen, whereas the others are just watching. It's the same for both the Swedish and American one. Oscar / Owen doesn't tell his mom about what happened. He opens up to Ellie/Abby. And for Ellie, Ellie is saying something on the lines of, you have to fight back. Whereas Abby says, hit back harder, and she says that she will help him. And in both movies, Oscar/Owen ends up signing up for strength training classes the next day because he wants to get stronger. He wants to be able to fight back. And then we have this little day out with Eli, Oscar/Owen, and Abby. And in the Swedish movie, we have a cat that screams at Ellie. So we saw this in The Lost Boys as well, but I did mention how dogs or cats as well, the animals tend to be more sensitive to like paranormal things or things that are not normal, things that have negative energy. So in Lost Boys, Nanook protected Sam, barked at the vampires, barked at Michael when he was transitioning. So it's the same in this one. The cat senses that Ellie isn't a normal human being and therefore is meowing at her. But the same thing happens in both the Swedish and the American remake. So Oscar/Owen offers Ellie/Abby chocolate or like sweets, and both of the characters puke from eating it because they can't digest normal human food. So in vampire movies, most case scenario, they can't eat normal human food. They will puke it up. In some vampire media, however, they can. It's just they can eat it, but it doesn't taste like anything. So that's what we have in the Vampire Diaries. Damon explained it to Elena in season one. I think it was episode 10? No. Episode 11, maybe. The episode title was Bloodlines. When they go on the road trip to Georgia, they eat burgers together, and Elena's like, how can he function? And Damon says that as long as he has a good diet of blood, as long as he is feeding on blood, he can pretty much function like a normal human. You know, they can eat food, it just doesn't taste like anything. So really, there's no point in eating it, but I don't know, maybe they just want to enjoy it as like a social activity, I guess. So I think if I was a vampire, like the best vampire to be for me out of the series I've watched so far would probably be Vampire Diaries, because as long as you have that daylight ring, you can walk out in the daylight, you can function like a human, so you can try and eat food if you want. So it would be easier to like live in communities and act like a normal human as long as you have that ring, because you can pretty much function normally. And also visual wise, I'd say they have the best visual. Of course, later on we will see Ellie/Abby's vamp face, and it's very different to the Vampire Diaries. So yeah, in this series, she can't digest any normal food or drink. I think, yeah, in both movies, Håkan/American Håkan asks Ellie/Abby not to see the boy. And in the Swedish one, it's very much like him. He has a dislike towards the boy, like he's jealous. Whereas the American remake, sorry, the traffic is very loud. It's nighttime over here. In the American remake, it very much feels like the old guy, well, American Håkan, is sad. Like he feels like he's being replaced by Owen, because obviously in the American remake, we see that he's known Abby since he was a child. So he sees Owen as his future replacement. You know, he's of old age now. He could pass away anytime. He knows that he doesn't have much time left. So he sees that Owen is like the future him, and he probably feels sad and like left behind, basically. So yeah, for the American remake, I really felt bad for him. So here we have the death scene of Håkan in both the Swedish version and the American one. So for the Swedish one, well, for both of them, the American Håkan pours acid on their face. And the fact that they brought the acid with them is a sign that, you know, maybe they were ready to die. Maybe they didn't want to kill anymore. Or maybe they always brought acid with them just in case a kill got wrong and they wanted to conceal themselves, so Abby/Ellie wouldn't get found out. So For the Swedish one, so for both of them, Ellie/Abby goes to the hospital and they climb up the window. They ask to be let in, but they can't be invited in because the acid has messed up Håkan/American Håkan's face. So he can't say the words, you know, come in or you're invited in. We see Ellie/Abby go to the hospital front desk and she can enter the building fine. And usually the rules are vampires can enter public places. So they can enter, you know, like a shopping mall, schools, hospitals, because it's a public place. You don't need an invitation. So she can enter the front desk area, but she can't enter the room. We don't have that in the Vampire Diaries. In the Vampire Diaries, you can visit any of the hospital rooms because the name isn't on the deed. It's all about if the name is on the deed or not, like if there's an owner. So yeah, I just thought that didn't really make sense how, you know, she can't go into the room. But then again, it would be better for humans because they're safe from the vampires. Håkan/American Håkan kind of offers their neck in a way to show that Ellie/Abby can feed on them. They're okay with dying. Maybe it's a way to say sorry because they couldn't give her the food that she needed, the blood that she needed. In the American one, this is where we are caught up to the scene where the detective, we saw at the very beginning, there was a detective trying to find out what's going on. So this is where we're kind of led up to the beginning of the movie again. And in the American one, it seems to be that the detective doesn't think that there's vampires. They seem to think that it's like some kind of satanic cult and they're sacrificing human lives or sacrificing blood or something. One thing that's different in the Swedish version and the American remake is when Ellie says that she's not a girl. So in the Swedish one, I think it can be taken into two meanings. It can be taken into the meaning that she's not a normal human girl. She's a vampire. That's the meaning that everyone would think of. But we also see that she's been castrated. So therefore, it can also mean that she's technically a boy in the Swedish version. But in the American remake, we don't have that. So Abby just means that she's a vampire. She's not a normal human girl that, you know, Owen can fall in love with and date. So for both the Swedish original movie and the American remake, we have a winter trip, excursion kind of, and this is where Oscar finally fights back to the bully, and Owen also fights back too. And they manage to injure the bully, the ear of the bully gets injured. Unfortunately, that is upscaled by the fact that a dead body is found. So the dead body in the woods is found. And then we have a blood exchange go on in both movies. So I think this is like a blood exchange pact for friendship or for trust or loyalty or something. But of course, because Ellie/Abby is a vampire, she literally goes down onto the floor and drinks the blood up. So these vampires are very zombie-like, I'd say. Like, I kind of got zombie vibes for her. You know, there's really two routes to go when it comes to vampires. You get the zombie-ish vampires, and then the vampires that are more, I'd say, elegant. European vampires is like my image. So we see that in the Vampire Diaries, I'd say. We wouldn't see these vampires crouching down on the floor, slurping up the blood. Ellie/Abby panics, runs off, and they end up attacking the female neighbor. The female neighbor is called Virginia. I think, I'm not sure if it was the Swedish version, probably the American version, she was called Virginia. So I'm just going to call her Virginia for both of them. So Virginia is having an argument with her partner, and she's leaving the house. Oh no, she's outside, and then she gets bitten. And Ellie/Abby doesn't finish off the job, so she isn't killed off. For the Swedish version, Virginia is taken to the hospital, whereas for the American version, she's not. She's at her house. So the difference is in this. Oh no, sorry. She is taken to the hospital. For the Swedish one, all the cats start attacking her. I don't think we had that scene in the American remake, but all the cats are literally grabbing onto her. So like I said, it's another emphasis that she's transitioning because, as I said, animals are more sensitive to paranormal things and entities. And The difference is, in the Swedish one, we see that Virginia, she's a genuinely good person. She doesn't want to turn into this thing that she's turning into. Maybe she doesn't know that it's a vampire, but she literally says that she doesn't, that she thinks she's infected. She says that to her partner when he visits her. She says that she doesn't want to live. She doesn't want to become like that. And we see her ask the nurse to open a window, and she burns. She burns to death. So, of course, usually vampires burn in the sun. They're, of course, night creatures. Whereas the American one, it doesn't, the curtain is opened and she burns, but it doesn't feel like it was intentional. So we see her wake up all of a sudden. She sees blood on her, her blood being transfused. She starts feeding on the blood. So she just wakes up and is feeding on the blood unintentionally. The curtain's open. She burns, and the nurse burns as well. And we see the detective trying to, like, go in and find some answers, only to find out that it's too late. So I like how they added that scene, because it kind of shows you, it kind of explains the vampire mythology for this movie. So for this movie, if the vampire doesn't finish off the job and feed, drain completely all of the blood of the human, they get infected. So it's very much like a virus in this movie. And of course, the way they are killed is by sunlight, and it's very instant. But yeah, as I said earlier, the vampire mythology really goes two ways. There's the zombie slash vampire virus route, and there's the other route. And I don't really like the route where it's like this, where it's like an instant transition. I just really, like, maybe I'm biased because I love the Vampire Diaries, but I like the fact that there's a choice. And yeah, I really respect the fact that they added that. So in the Vampire Diaries, you have to be fed vampire blood and then die, which makes sense because vampires are the undead. And they wake up, they have 24 hours to decide if they feed or not. So at first they don't know what's going on, but then gradually they do. And I just think it's fair. Like, some people may want to have a natural death, and then they could decide there, and it's peaceful. So I just really like that concept. And I'm not sure if it's like that in other franchises or medias. I'll have to, you know, learn more about vampire mythology as this podcast goes on. But I just say that's my favorite way to transition out of all the franchises, books, media that I've seen so far. Then we have another mythology explained, and the next one is the invitation mythology. So usually the concept is that vampires have to be invited in. So it's a way for normal humans to protect themselves, because vampires are considered, you know, devilish spirits, negative entities. So it's a way that us humans can protect ourselves from vampires. And for series like the, again, I'm going to compare it to Vampire Diaries because this is predominantly a Vampire Diaries podcast. For the Vampire Diaries, they can't get in. There's literally a blockage. So it's like an invisible magical barrier, like a spell that's basically preventing the vampire to even enter the house. So it's a barrier that we cannot see. And for a show like True Blood, True Blood was a series that I watched last year. They can be rescinded at any time. So you can be invited in once, and once you're invited out, you're literally forced out the house. So we don't have that in the Vampire Diaries. Vampire Diaries, it's one invitation. They can come in any time, which is pretty scary if you unintentionally invite a vampire in. Whereas True Blood, you have that extra protection. You can kick them out at any time. In this series, technically, the vampires appear to be able to enter the house. However, as soon as they start entering, they start bleeding and bleeding. And we see this with Ellie and Abby. We see this in both the original and the remake. Blood is literally coming out from her eyes, from her nose, her whole face. And until Oscar/Owen says the words, it doesn't stop. So he says that you're invited in, you can come in, and they stop bleeding. So I think if he left it at that, she probably would have died, basically. And it's the next day, I'm guessing. We have, in the Swedish movie, we have the boyfriend of the the Virginia who, you know, got turned and then died, tried to kill Ellie. Whereas in the American remake, because we have that extra detective storyline, it's the detective trying to hunt down Abby. And in both the original and the remake, Oscar/Owen is the one that wakes her up or protects her basically by shouting. And for the Swedish remake, we don't see Ellie, or Oscar doesn't see Ellie kill the guy. Whereas in the American remake, we literally see Owen witness Abby kill the detective. And then we're gonna go on to the very last scene. So the very last scene is the final scene with the bullies. Oh, sorry, we have two more scenes, but this is the main last scene, the bullies scene in the swimming pool. So basically, both scenes, the older brother of Connie, the main bully, has decided to take things on to a whole other level. He's basically saying an eye for an ear. And he says that if you can stay for underwater for 3 minutes, we'll leave it with just a scratch. So he does this. He's forced under the water. We see these bodies and like falling in the pool. We see lots of things happen, but we don't actually witness the kills. But then we find out that Ellie/Abby helped Oscar/Owen and killed off all the bullies, but just left one bully that was hesitant to bully Oscar. So for the American remake, Dylan Minnette/Clay Jensen, although he's a really mean bully and nothing excuses bullying, we see that he does the same thing to Owen that his older brother is doing to him. So we did have a scene earlier where the older brother was teasing him about his injured ear, saying little girl. So he's being bullied by his older brother and he's just repeating the same things to Oscar. He's looking for someone, to Owen, because he wants somebody weaker than him. And then the very, very last scene for both movies is the train scene. So we have Ellie and Oscar and Owen and Abby on the train. Ellie/Abby is in like the trunk, the little case, and they're communicating in Morse code. So I guess it implies that, you know, now the caretaker, Hakan, isn't here. Oscar/Owen is the replacement, and we don't know where they're headed off to. So I don't know, like it leaves it as a mystery, but I guess that's what it's trying to imply, that Oscar/Owen is the next guardian for this vampire. But we don't know, you know, small details such as what happened to the traumatized one boy who was left alive, or whether Oscar/Owen's parents will look for him. But it's basically implying that, you know, the same thing is happening. You know, history is repeating itself, basically. So yeah, that was my brief comparison of the plot of the movies. And next we're going to take a look at the reviews, I'll read some trivia facts, and wrap it up with my final thoughts. So both of these movies were ranked really highly, which was surprising, I would say. I think this was ranked even higher than even The Lost Boys, which is a 80s classic. So for the Swedish movie, first of all, IMDb was ranked 7.9 out of 10. For Rotten Tomatoes, the critics rated this 98%, whereas the audience rated this 90%. So really, really high rankings, which I was pretty surprised about, I'd say. And I'll say more about it in my thoughts later on. And for the American remake, Let Me In, IMDb scored this 7.1 out of 10. For Rotten Tomatoes, the critics rated this 88%, whereas the audience rated this 76%. So it is lower than the original, but still relatively high, I would say. And I do think that this happens a lot. Usually remakes or reboots, they're not as popular as the original one. Some people are very against reboots, remakes. They think it's not needed. And in some cases, I do agree. A good example would be Gossip Girl. So my favorite TV show right now is The Vampire Diaries, but as a child and even up until last year, I'd say Gossip Girl was my number one show. And it came to the point where I started watching The Vampire Diaries. My first time was like 5 years ago, I'd say. And then it was kind of like both were at the same level, but now I'm just completely obsessed with The Vampire Diaries. But Gossip Girl was one of those shows that didn't need a reboot, or if they were going to make a reboot, I would prefer that they based it on like Blair and Chuck's son or, like, you know, some characters that were related to the original cast members. And the reboot wasn't successful at all, and it got cancelled. So, yeah, reboots, remakes tend to get a bad image. So for the original Swedish movie, Let the Right One In, many people complimented how the movie was a very artistic style, and it's very haunting, it's not your typical movie, it's very charming, and I would say that it has a very different tone to it. So there's not that much script, there's not that many words said by the actors and actresses, it's more silent, we don't get that much loud music either. And even in many ranking like best vampire movies of all time, we do often see this movie ranked in the lists. For the American remake, it was pretty much half and half from the reviews, the comments that I looked at. Some people, again, who are against remakes or reboots, said that this movie didn't need to exist, whereas other people said it was a very well-made remake, and the actors, the cast was phenomenal, which I agree with. Many of the people featured in this American remake have gone on to be extremely successful actors and actresses, respectively. And one comment I found interesting was, it's better if you haven't seen the original movie. I pulled out some trivia facts. I'm on IMDb right now, so I'll just read out some trivia facts with you guys. So first of all, for the Swedish original version, Let the Right One In, one trivia says several tricks were used to create the right sound effects for some of the goriest scenes. Biting into sausages was used to replicate biting into skin and flesh. And drinking yogurt was used to sound like drinking blood. So in many of these vampire movies, the sound effects are, you know, CG. They're like, sound effects are like added on later on from, you know, the editing softwares or whatever there is. Whereas for this Swedish movie, they actually used real sound effects, which I thought is very interesting and very creative. Oh yes, and it says the word vampire is only said once in the movie, and they say it at around 1 hour and 19 minutes. So I think this is where Ellie says that she is a vampire. So again, there's two ways to go when it comes to vampire movies: the route where you don't mention the vampire word at all, or where it's very much a main theme. A movie that I watched called Near Dark, it was also the same. The vampire word was never mentioned, I think. I reviewed that movie back in May, so if you're interested, you can check that out. Spoiler alert, I did not enjoy the movie, so if you disagree with me, maybe skip on it. Okay, the next trivia says that the title of the film, as well as the novel upon which it was based, refers to the fact that, according to myth, vampires must be invited in before they can enter someone's home. And this is shown in the film when Ellie asks Oscar to invite her into his apartment. So again, we talked about that myth, how vampires need an invitation. Let the Right One In means let the right person in, whereas the American one is called Let Me In, so it's more about Abby wanting to be let in, I'm guessing. So yeah, as I mentioned earlier, at around 42 minutes this happens, but I mentioned how, you know, Ellie asked Oscar if he would still like her if she was not a girl, and they said that there's two meanings to it. And it even says it here, how this is not only a reference to her being a vampire, but to the fact that in the book, Ellie is actually a boy who was castrated at the same time that he was turned into a vampire. And this is briefly referenced in a scene where Ellie's scarred genitalia are shown. So in the book, they explain it more in depth, but I'm guessing they didn't want to make it too gory, they didn't want to make it too dark, so they didn't show this in the movie. But there's a whole backstory as to when Ellie was turned, how the person that turned him castrated him and made him into a girl. Another thing is, later in production, it was decided that Lena Leanderson, so the girl that played Ellie, her voice would be replaced by a darker voice, because the character of Ellie was supposed to be an androgynous boy who had been castrated, and Leanderson's voice was considered too delicate and feminine to depict that. So yeah, so the voice is a different voice, basically, but Lena Leanderson was cast partly because of her androgynous appearance at the time. So because the Swedish version, it's very much based on the book, whereas Ellie is technically not a girl, they wanted someone who had those, you know, both masculine and feminine looks. So that's why she was cast. But in the American version, this whole storyline is completely wiped out. So let's take a look at the trivia for the American version, Let Me In, the American remake. So one trivia fact says when Abby is barefoot in the snow, Chloe Grace Moretz was really barefoot. During filming, the crew had to heat up her feet in between takes so she didn't get too cold. Again, for the American version as well, the word vampire is only said once in this film when Abby announces that she is a vampire. And for this one, despite being asked twice by Owen, again, Abby never reveals her true age, so this is the same as the Swedish original version as well. Okay, so Thomas Alfredson, who was the director of the original Swedish Let the Right One In movie, was very upset that his film was being remade and spoke out against remakes. This was the first horror remake for Chloe Grace Moretz, in which she portrays a character showing a killer supernatural reaction against bullies, and she also plays the title character in Carrie 2013, so 3 years after this movie, she went on to be the main character for Carrie. And okay, so the director of the American movie, Matt Reeves, stated the main thing he loved about the novel, Let the Right One In, was the fact that Abby wasn't a scheming 250-year-old woman inside a 12-year-old body. She was very much a child emotionally and has had to protect herself from getting too close with anyone. He believed Abby was testing Owen to see if he would show he cared for her and stay, or if he would get scared and stop seeing her. So I think that's a very interesting way to interpret it. I will talk about it in my thoughts later on, but it's good that it's a very open book, I'd say. You can interpret Abby / Ellie's character in multiple ways, I would say. So yeah, as I mentioned in the novel, in the original film, Ellie is androgynous, she's actually a boy, whereas in this installment, Abby is quite clearly a female, and apparently in a deleted scene, it shows Abby being bitten as a child, which turned her into a vampire, and I do wish they added that scene in. Storyline is a little different for this one. So in this one, we see a photo strip of Abby, and a young boy is with her, who is the American Hakan when he was 12. So it's set differently. So in the American remake, you know, this character was very much in love with Abby, knew her as a child. Oh, I'm so sorry. So I made a mistake. So in the Swedish version, Let the Right One In, one of the bullies is spared and is crying. I talked about that. Completely missed this. But in the American remake, every single bully is slaughtered by Abby. And yeah, so despite his sadistic attitude towards Owen, it could be considered that the bully character of Kenny, sorry, that's Clay Jensen / Dylan Minnette's name. Kenny is a bullied character as well, given how his brother treats him. So yeah, that's about it for trivia facts. So lots of interesting facts there. I would say that this probably isn't a popular opinion. Many people love the Swedish version, the original version. If I had to choose, I would say that I prefer the American movie, and there's two reasons. So one minor reason is simply because I enjoyed the actors in this movie. They were actors that I enjoy seeing in other movies, you know, Chloe Moretz, I enjoy her work, and because I just watched 13 Reasons Why, it was good to see Dylan Minnette in there. But the main reason is I like the fact how the American movie changed the storyline to Hakan being Abby's old lover. I just really think that it makes sense. I know that the original novel wasn't like that. It was more of like he was more of a pedophile and was, you know, using Ellie / Abby in his own way. But I just like the fact that, you know, this guy chose to basically sacrifice his whole life to help Abby / Ellie, you know, to kill so many humans for her every day, to feed her, to be loyal, be with her. I just really like the concept of that better, and it made me really feel for the character and his whole sacrifice, you know, covering himself with acid and offering himself to her at the end. It just had a whole bigger meaning to it, I'd say. So for that, I'd say I prefer the American movie. So it's nothing to do with, like, you know, a language difference or anything like that. It's really about that plot, because I really like how they changed it to that. I wonder if this Håkan character ever considered to become a vampire himself, because we see it in most vampire movies, but usually when a vampire and a human fall in love, there's always that lingering question, you know, what are you going to do when you start aging? And there's a timeline for you. You can die, whereas this vampire can live for eternity. And usually in most media, the human ends up turning into a vampire because, of course, they want to be with their love for the rest of their lives. So, yeah, I always wonder, like, was it ever a consideration for Håkan? I mean, obviously, the Swedish one, I think Ellie came to know Håkan, you know, when he was very much an adult. But for the American remake, if they knew each other since such a young age, I always wonder if he ever considered to be turned, or if he didn't want to, or if Abby asked him to just be her guardian. You know, I'm not really sure, but yeah, I just thought that's a, you know, interesting part. And it makes you wonder, you know, is Owen / Oscar going to, you know, replace Håkan, or is he going to turn as well? They don't have an answer to that. I guess it's just an open book. But the way they end it, I think it's pretty much showing that Oscar / Owen becomes the new Håkan, becomes the new killer. As I said, Abby / Ellie can be considered in different ways. As I said, the American director felt that Abby was a very innocent character, how her emotional age was a child, and, you know, therefore she wasn't using Oscar / Owen. But, okay, this is an unpopular opinion, but I did hear other people say this in other podcasts too, but I'm not so sure if she's completely innocent. I think for the American movie, I felt some innocence in Abby. I felt some humanity. Even when she was saying goodbye to Håkan, you know, I felt that there was a connection between them. And I feel the American remake, Abby / Ellie, I can understand more. But for the Swedish one, I felt it was more dark overall. And I feel that Ellie is kind of manipulating Oscar. And was manipulating Håkan too. So I don't think she's completely innocent. And I think that even if they say that her emotional age is of a 12-year-old, you know, she's been around for like hundreds of years. She clearly knows how to manipulate. And even Abby, you know, in the American remake, when she has to feed herself, she pretends to cry and pretends to be this lost little girl and then just switches to feed and drain this guy out. So she's not completely honest, let's be honest. You know, vampires are, you know, the longer they live, the more wiser they are. They've been around for decades, centuries even. They know how to master manipulate. And again, this is going to be very unpopular, but if I was to rank these movies out of 10, I'd say, Swedish movie, I would rank 5.5 out of 10, and the US remake, 6.5 out of 10. So before everyone goes judging me, I'm not saying that this is a bad movie. I think I said this for Near Dark as well. This isn't my kind of genre. This isn't something I enjoy, but I can respect people enjoying this movie. I see it's a very artistic movie. It has some beautiful scenes. It's just not my cup of tea. I'd say it's because the main characters are children. I just couldn't really get myself to enjoy it so much. You know, it's a sweet romance to see, but I'd rather see like a teenage romance or like a young adult romance. It's just, yeah, the main characters being children isn't really my thing, and so therefore that's why I didn't rank it so high. But I do know that it's a beautiful masterpiece and many people love this movie. It's not the type of movie that I'd want to see again. I think so far, out of all the bonus episodes I've done, the movie I enjoyed the most was by far Lost Boys 1987. Love that movie. I think I ranked it 8.5 out of 10, but that is a movie that I would watch again and again. I think I'd rank it higher now, actually, like 9 out of 10. Like, that's a classic movie that I can watch every year and like not get bored, no hesitations. That's where I really rank my movies. Like, would I want to rewatch this again? For this movie, I don't think I'd feel the need to rewatch it again. Like, I mean, I watched both movies twice for this podcast, but yeah, I wouldn't feel the need to want to see it again. But that's the end of today's episode covering Let the Right One In / Let Me In. Now we finished with our bonus episode, we'll be returning to the Vampire Diaries content from next week. So we are finishing off season one, the Vampire Diaries, you guys. It's been a long journey. I started this podcast back in February. It is now July. It's crazy how time flies. You know, we only have 5 months till Christmas and 3 months till Halloween, which is just crazy. We're nonstop covering Vampire Diaries content. So no more bonus episodes until, I'd say, in between Vampire Diaries season 1 and season 2. So I'm really looking forward to going back to Vampire Diaries content, to be honest, because it's what I'm truly passionate about. But I do want to throw in these bonus episodes here and there because it's fun to compare different vampire medias. And through this podcast, thanks to this podcast, I found The Lost Boys, which I'd never seen before. And I absolutely love that movie. So, yeah, if there's any vampire content that you want me to feature, it's going to be quite a while until I can feature it because I have about 2 months left of Vampire Diaries season 1 content. But in between season 1 and season 2, if there's anything you want me to cover, I can definitely do that. I did get requests for Twilight, but timing-wise, I already scheduled to do Twilight after season 2 Vampire Diaries. And there's a reason for that, which I cannot mention right now because it will lead to a spoiler of the Vampire Diaries. But yes, I'm doing it after season 2. Next week, we will be looking at the Vampire Diaries season 1, episode 18. Last time we ended with Stefan drinking human blood. It kind of left as a cliffhanger. So I'm really, really looking forward to it. We also have an appearance of a founding family character, a relative of one of the main characters. So really excited to see it. Oh my gosh, I'm just so excited. Love, love, love the Vampire Diaries. I just can't get over it. So yes, as I mentioned in the beginning, I was kind of in a rut because my podcast has not been growing that much recently, but I do enjoy it. You know, I'm just so passionate about it, but I guess I'm not interesting enough for lots of people to watch. I mean, I understand it, you know, I'm just talking to myself for like an hour every week. But thank you to my loyal listeners who tune in every single week. It really, really means a lot to me. And, you know, feel free to like start a discussion with me about Vampire Diaries or any vampire content because it's a topic I'm very much passionate about. Yes, so I'd really appreciate it if you could rate, review our podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts because it helps the algorithm. Also, go follow our Instagram, which is at The Mystic Podcast. I post, you know, memes or like pictures related to the episodes that I covered. And you can just connect with me on there for any feedback. Question for today is just your thoughts on this movie. It can either be Let the Right One In or Let Me In. If you've watched it before, just comment down your feedback and whether you prefer the Swedish version or the American version. So if you haven't watched this movie, definitely go check it out. I'd say it's worth checking it out. Maybe you will enjoy it more than I do. You never know. So yes, that's the end of today's podcast. Thank you for tuning in. I will see you next Sunday. We are resuming with The Vampire Diaries.